Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Everyday Theology Podcast, where we as ordinary pastors connect theological truths to everyday believers just like yourself. I am Dustin Walters. I'm joined today by Ben Campbell, and we have two special guests today on the show, Matt Bracey and Chris Talbot.
Yeah, and we're going to be interviewing them on their latest book release called Christians in Culture, Cultivating a Christian Worldview for All of Life. So, gentlemen, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you. We enjoy being a part of this.
Yeah, so let's get a little bit of shop talk out of the way before we get into the meat of the conversation. So we'll go with Mr. Bracey first, then Mr. Talbot. But tell us just a little bit about who you are. Tell us about your family. Tell us about what you do at the school and maybe some interests academically even.
Well, thanks so much for having us on. My name is Matt Bracey. I am originally from the Middle Tennessee area. I went to what was then Free Will Baptist Bible College, graduated, went to law school, went to divinity school at Beeson, started working at Welch. I've been here. I just finished my 10th year. Last year, I wear multiple hats at Welch College. I teach part-time. I'm the vice provost for academic administration. And on the side, I coach cross country. So I do a little bit of everything. I teach in the areas of law, theology, and philosophy, a little bit of history. I am presently ABD, all but dissertation, in my PhD program in ethics and public policy. I'm writing my dissertation on the moral imagination and Edmund Burke. And it's my hope and prayer that I'll finish this semester. My wife and I have been married going on 12 years. We live in a small town, not too far from the college. It's just her and me. And, you know, I love the life of the mind, but at heart, you know, I'm just an ordinary guy, I think, who has ideals for the country and just living a simple life.
Well, Matt, we're so glad to have you here today, and we hope our listeners will get to know you just a little bit. I had the privilege of sitting under you as a student twice, and I'm so thankful. He said, sorry. So thankful for what you're doing there at Welch. I often wonder how you handle so many different responsibilities, but you do it well, and we're glad to have you here. Chris, tell us about yourself, your ministry, and where you serve at the college.
Yeah, my name is Chris Talbot. I grew up in Southeast Michigan in a little town called Tecumseh there, not too far from Ann Arbor. You felt the call to ministry when I was in my teen years. I had a really wonderful youth leader and a really loving church. And through, you know, a series of circumstances, ended up coming to Welch College, which, as Matt mentioned, was called Free Will Baptist Bible College back then. Did my undergrad there, worked for enrollment full-time for a little bit. Went off to be a youth pastor in North Carolina, did a master's in ministry, and I'm now, just like Matt mentioned too, I'm all but dissertation in my PhD program. I'm doing a program in apologetics and culture, and my dissertation is on Francis Schaeffer and his doctrine of scripture, the whole area really interests me quite a bit. Yeah, me and my wife, she's from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. So Dustin, also a fellow Alabamian. We live here in Gallatin and we have three boys, William, James Elliott, and Samuel, and they are, they're wonderful joy. You know, Matt and I, we interact quite a bit as colleagues, but we're also fellow church members too. We go to the same church. And so, we get to see a lot of each other and we're in the same small group as well. So we, every Sunday night we hang out and eat food and talk about biblical truth. So we get to see a lot of each other and we've enjoyed working together on this.
Well, we're so thankful that you guys have put the work in on this project. So Christians and Culture is a book that's divided into two parts through which the contributors seek to establish a Christian worldview and apply it to life. So we're going to get into some questions about the book specifically. Tell us how Christians in Culture came to be. You know, many times people will look at a book and they read the copyright 2023. But tell us a little bit about how this book came to be. What was the process from the faculty there at Welch that led to the development of this book?
Well, back in 2014, the faculty at Welch College decided to revise its general education curriculum. And this revision included a series of courses called Christianity, Culture, and Worldview. For short, students call it, and I guess faculty as well, CCW. And what we found through the teaching of it, various people have had their hands at teaching it, including me and Chris here. And what we found is that there were books out there that touched on our goals in part, but not in whole. And even for those books that touched on our goals in part, it wasn't precisely from the perspective that we're coming from here at Welch College. And so this led to the desire or the idea, and I guess the desire followed later, to do a book. And so that's what we did. We did a book. We put together a book. I've gotten a copy so you can see what it looks like. Christians and Culture, Cultivating a Christian Worldview for All of Life. And so what we have here is there are 15 chapters, and there are 10 different authors. Some authors do double duty. And we talk about the various things of culture. It's divided between two parts. Part one considers, as you mentioned, Dustin, part one considers theological foundations, philosophical foundations, historical foundations. And part two, which is the majority of the book, just gets into the spheres of culture in our world that we're always interacting with. So we've got chapters on things like music and TV and pop culture and science and sports and technology and on and on. So it's our hope that it's theologically robust, historically oriented, and culturally relevant.
Yeah, and like Matt mentioned, this has been a work that we've worked on with our colleagues here at Welch. We really like the idea that it's kind of an in-house thing of like different faculty members across our spectrum of programs working together. But it's also been a long time coming as well. Matt, I don't remember exactly what year we kind of pitched the idea, but it's been maybe 2 or 3 years that we've been working on this. And so we're really thankful that it's finally here. So Dustin mentioned, 2023 is a copyright, but this has been, in the pipeline for a while, and we're glad to see it printed.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're glad to see it printed too, because both of us have benefited from those academic endeavors at the school. And so, it's just a kind of, I know like, for you guys, it's just sort of like fulfilling to see, years of work, like tangibly. And so, so that's always a good thing. I want to get a couple of different questions here. Tell us a little bit about maybe in brevity, how that our perspective, because we're all, all of us went to school where it was Free Will Baptist Bible College. So give us the different perspective, compared to the other books that you mentioned. And then maybe just tell us a little bit about who you wrote this for. Is it college students only, pastors, lay people? Like where's the way that goes, and who's the audience for?
Yeah, I think what makes our book a little bit unique, at least, is the fact that, as I mentioned, that we're using people within the same institution that share the same educational philosophy and the same view of like Christian worldview within a particular like theological tradition even. And so I've really benefited from books that take kind of a big umbrella approach, and I think those are really needed and helpful. But we've kind of narrowed in and said, all right, these people that we work together every day, and they teach history and they teach science and they teach sports and recreation, all this, let's work together and see how this harmonizes with one another and do that. As you read through the book, you'll realize that we kind of go back and forth with other works. A lot of people are familiar with Niebuhr's book, Christ and Culture. And so we talk a little bit about those categories. We talk about cultural engagement and things like that. At the end of the day, our primary audience, or at least the audience we thought of when we were writing the book, was our freshmen in our first Christianity, Culture, and Worldview class. And so we were thinking about students that were right out of high school, thinking about cultural engagement, thinking about what it means to be faithful in their Christian life in 2023. And so those were kind of the main people we were writing for. That said, we're very adamant that we think that pastors and lay people and everybody, can benefit from this book. And we believe we wrote it in a way that has a really wide appeal.
I would echo Mr. Talbot. You know, we're coming from a Free Will Baptist Reformed Arminian perspective, but this doesn't mean that it's limited to people of our confessional background. One of the things I'm really proud of from this book is that we had a broad sampling of people from varying confessional backgrounds to endorse this book and to see the use of it themselves. So, for example, David Dockery, who's president at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, he wrote the foreword. We received an endorsement from Al Mohler, and his endorsement did not limit it just to students. He said that this is an incredibly helpful guide and resource. I highly commend it to Christians today. So he was quite broad in his endorsement. The retired president of one of our accreditors at Welch College, ABHE, Ralph Inlow, he endorsed it. The late Harry Reeder, Presbyterian, endorsed it. So we wrote it initially, but the project started, as Chris mentioned, with college freshmen in mind, but we truly believe that it's broad in its appeal and in its scope.
Yeah, that's good. So you're looking then to really just, this is a book that can kind of like go between levels, if you will. And it is for the academic, but also for the pastor, for the high school student, even. I mean, this is something that's needed in our movement probably more than we realize. And so, yeah, I'm tickled to get into the meat of this conversation with the way in which this book plays out.
Chris, you mentioned Niebuhr. Niebuhr is one of the most popular works on Christians and culture, I think, that many even lay believers have encountered. Even if they haven't encountered Niebuhr, they have encountered his paradigms. He lists these five paradigms that kind of describe the way Christians in history have related to culture. Each of those categorical distinctives in Niebuhr have their strengths and their weaknesses. What would you say would be some primary similarities and differences in the approach in this book and that of Niebuhr?
Yeah, Matt can add to this, but I think anybody that lives this side of Niebuhr and wants to engage with talk about cultural engagement and Christ and culture really has to engage with Niebuhr at some level, because his work is just so seminal, right? It's an important work. You know, I think some people want to nuance it a little bit more. Paradigms fall apart at some point, but I think it's really helpful overall. And so, like you mentioned, even though people might not know the name Niebuhr, they know that there are certain ways in which Christians have engaged with culture overall, right? Like, some people withdraw from culture. You think of like the Amish, right? Other people, like Protestant liberalism, has totally accommodated to culture, right? It has become the culture that's lived in. And so there's other forms as well. You know, we often throughout the book will explicitly mention Niebuhr. We also try to nuance like our approach a little bit. I think you get that specifically in President Pinson's chapter on cultural engagement. He kind of walks through in kind of a sermonic way, appealing much to the Gospel of John, what it means to not only transform culture, but also have some type of, you know, optimal distance from culture as well. So we are not, we're not of the culture, but we're in the culture, we're transforming it, but sometimes we have to separate ourselves as well. And so he navigates that well, kind of all the while kind of tipping his hat to Niebuhr's categories.
So let me ask you this. I want to see, maybe get your thoughts on this. Maybe Mr. Bracey, you can answer this. We talked about like who the book is for, and it is for, you know, you're kind of trying to have a wider audience than just like college students or what have you, or even pastors, whatever. But let's think about this. Like when we think about the book that's titled Christians and Culture, tell me how you think this book will stand apart from other books on Christian culture and cultural engagement, because I mean, but there's all sorts of books being written on this, and there's all, and you know, everybody has an opinion on this. You know, you've got certain people who are like, you know, women can't wear pants. And then you've got others that's like, hey, we need to make bars into churches, you know? So like, where's a fine line here from this Reformed Arminian perspective on cultural engagement when it comes to the biblical text and biblical warrants, and but also like faithful Christianity?
Thank you for the question. Chris may want to add something after I'm done. I'm going to resist the temptation to mention other books specifically because of the nature of, you know, critical engagement. You know, some of these books are really, really theological, theoretically solid, but they're maybe less practically helpful. And other books are really, they tend toward the practical without being, shall we say, theoretically or theologically or philosophically robust. And then for those that whereas our book, I think, puts it together and it tries to do both. So earlier I used the expression that what we're trying to do and be is theologically robust, historically oriented, and culturally relevant. So we're trying to bridge the gap. And then also, I would say, for those books out there that do do both, sometimes the way in which they do it, you know, in some ways, in certain areas, leave some things to be desired, at least from my perspective. So it's like, if my ideal is 10, maybe they get, in this chapter, it gets to like 7.5. And then in that chapter, it gets to say 8.25. And so it's good, but it's not great. And by the way, maybe for the tradition in which those authors are writing, it is a 10 because you have to write and you have to like you got to preach in light of the people that you actually have. And so some of this may just be a matter of differences of circumstance. And so I want to be very gracious toward those other books. But like I say, I think that we're trying to be, and I think that our book is, it's robust, but it's also very relevant in practical ways, but not so, it tries to leave some room. So, for example, when it comes to sports, for example, you could be as specific as saying something like, if you watch more than, say, 2 hours of sports a week, that's too much. You could be that specific. That's probably a bit overkill, you know, but you need something than just mere theory if you're going to think through this area. So we try to bridge the gap there in a way that's fitting.
Yeah, no, I think Matt's really hitting the nail on the head here. To me, we're doing well, and of course, I think this is an editor of the book, but I think we do well to balance a few important elements of this book. You know, we're trying to write at an accessible level for, you know, college freshmen to be able to read. So sometimes we have books like that are on cultural engagement, they end up being a little bit more on the vague side. They include important elements, but they don't always engage deeply with the content. At the same time, you have books that cover a wide range of stuff, but maybe they're written by one person. And so all of a sudden, you know, you're having to cover a lot of information, but you're not an expert on that. And so we I think have benefited really well from having experts in the field writing on specific topics as it relates, and then trying to bring that all together in a way that complements each other. Yeah, again, I'm just really proud of like what we've produced here and think it'll be really helpful.
Why do you guys think it's important that Christians develop a more biblically faithful understanding of the relationship between faith and culture?
That's a million-dollar question, isn't it?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, I think to me it's like a non-negotiable, and it's a little bit incriminating that it's not a central or the central part of what it means to be a discipled Christian. You know, culture is the air we breathe. It's the world we live in, right? It's inescapable part of life, and so if we are Christians in a culture, then we have to figure out how to do that faithfully. And so oftentimes we do that just kind of by like wandering about, or maybe we have a few ideas here, a few ideas over there, but we really need to encourage ourselves and others, regardless of whether or not we read this book, but to think really critically and biblically about what it means to be faithful Christians in our particular cultural moment.
Some years ago, back in the 1940s, I think, C.S. Lewis wrote an essay called Learning in Wartime. And he tells the story about how there were people asking him, look, we've got Hitler over here. Why are you insisting on having college classes? Why are you wanting people? People need to be fighting for the country, not going into classrooms and learning. And C.S. Lewis's response to that was, people will learn history. People will learn about the arts. People will learn about whatever the topic is. The question isn't, are they going to learn it? The question is, are they going to learn it goodly? Are they going to learn it in the right way? Or are they going to learn it in the poor way? Are they going to learn how to think philosophically or theologically in a way that's, shall we say, orthodox, or in a way that's maybe less than orthodox? So to Chris's point, the question is not, are we going to engage culture? We are engaging culture in one way or the other. Even hypothetically, if you withdraw from the culture, you still have a culture among the people with whom you're interacting. Culture is the air that we breathe. And if we're not engaging it well, then probably because of our sin nature, we're going to engage it poorly. So we have to be intentional to engage the culture well.
Yeah, isn't that a thing that, I mean, culture is just the consequence of people living together, right? And so even with someone like, you know, a group like the Amish or like the Mennonites or something like that, I mean, they're thinking maybe that they're withdrawing from culture, but what they're in fact doing is they're creating their own culture. And so it's almost kind of a baby out with the bathwater type of scenario. So yeah, let's just think about like maybe some concluding thoughts. Like let's answer it maybe in a two-part question. Why would you recommend, obviously we're talking to two of the editors or the editors of the book, but why would you recommend people get this book, but then also like how can they obtain a copy?
Yeah, I mean, I think this book just helps really lay a solid foundation and then shows how that foundation plays out in different spheres of culture. And so it's just a kind of a real basic intuitive approach to cultural engagement of, let's build a foundation with, how do we get here? What is a biblical like foundation for it? What are kind of paradigms for cultural engagement? And then for, you know, the second part of the book is, what does that look like with literature and science and history and economics and sports and recreation and technology and all of this? And so I think it's just a really practical, helpful book that will serve people well. And as far as where can they get the book, you know, Amazon, but also Welch College Press website as well are both ways in which they can purchase it.
That URL for Welch Press, by the way, is welch.edu/Welch Press. Welch.edu/Welch Press.
Thank you guys for that remark. And we are going to announce that we are going to give away one copy of this to a lucky listener. What you will do is, when we post this episode of the podcast, you will like it, share it, and comment on the post. Your names will be entered into a drawing, and we will be glad to contact you and send you a free copy of Christians and Culture, courtesy of Welch Press. Guys, thank you so much for your time today. Thanks for joining us. Yes.
Let me throw something in there. I should have jumped in earlier. I'm sorry. So this book, you know, it's written with the college classroom in mind. In other words, it lends itself to discussion. You know, when we teach this class, there's some lecture involved, but there's lots of discussion involved. So in addition to being for individuals to read through, I think it's a great group discussion book as well. So it may be that that there are, you know, small group leaders that want to work through it as a group. So I wanted to mention that as well.
I think that'd be excellent. And we would love to hear reports of people taking this to their church, to their book club, to their community group or whatever. It has been a real pleasure to talk with you guys this morning about Christians in Culture. We appreciate the intentional kingdom work that you both are doing and that Welch College is engaging in. As you all prepare to begin another semester, just know that we will be praying for you and the Lord's guidance over the president, his administrative staff, the students, everyone involved there at Welch. We do invite our listeners to pray intentionally for Welch College and Welch Press. We encourage you all to order a copy of Christians in Culture. Until next time, we hope these truths have reached you for your good and for God's glory.